The scripture reading is Deuteronomy 14:2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Praise God.
Good morning. Before I start, I just want to open up with a prayer, and I just ask that we listen today. And this message is not just for you guys, but for me too. And I like to start off by saying that what we learned today, let us try to teach someone, anyone, about God's word and who Jesus is. Amen? May we bow our heads in prayer. O Lord and gracious and kind Heavenly Father, hide me behind the cross, O Lord, and may your will be done today. May you bless this Elmira Church. Father, I thank you for blessing them thus far. May you be with our families, be with our ears, our minds, and our hearts, Father, and just help us to surrender all to you this day, Father. But at this time, at this precious hour, that we would lend our ears and our hearts and our minds and give it totally unto thee. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, our scripture reading is taken from Deuteronomy 14:2, which Brother Jason read, and it's nice to see you, Jason. For you are holy people, the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, or a peculiar people, a special treasure above all peoples of the earth, right? But as we know also commonly, that when Adam and Eve sinned, with the separation between man and God, it became a separation. That division came into the world. And that's why God saw it fit to send his son Jesus Christ to restore that separation. But you know, people all around the world, including some Christians today, treat that gift as if it never happened. What do I mean? People all around the world treat that restoration as it's never happened. And when we do that, we remove the character of God from our very beings, because every time we sin against him, that's what happens. But I have a question. As his special people, as we read in Scripture, does that make any sense? As his special treasure, why is it that we've treated this separation? Why is there a separation between God and man? Okay? I have another question. You know, when we're growing up as children, I have children of my own. When we're growing up, as we get older and our parents are the ones raising us, does it make sense for us to separate? I mean, it makes sense to separate because as adults we have to grow and be on our own. But do we stop that bond that we've grown with our mother and our father? No, right? That's not what we do. How is it then that we have a creator who made mommy and daddy, or father and brothers and sisters? How is it that he made us and made our parents, but yet that separation has been caused? He loves us just as much as our parents do, maybe even more, right? Amen? So, why is there a separation? Okay? Why isn't Christ our most supportive and closest friend? Usually, we spend years with our family and our friends, and we spend years with Christ as we learn him and as we know him. But why is there still a separation? When someone isn't familiar with us, how do they learn about us? They learn about us through our parents or our families and friends who we've associated with, right? So, if we are closely associated with Jesus Christ, as we are supposed to be, why isn't that same chain of effects put into effect? Why is it that when we're looked upon, that the Spirit of Christ may not be seen in us? Why aren't those chains Or why isn't there a bond, as if it were, with our humanly mothers and fathers? Why is it that we seem further away from the Almighty rather than closer? Why aren't we joined all the way to Him? Why is it though that the entire Bible, God's people, never seem to get it right? I'm going somewhere with this. It's a bunch of questions I want us to put into our minds. Okay? Why is it that we are so unwilling to hear God? You know, we've become so disobedient that the only way that God can reach us is through delivering a message such as the one that we are going to listen to today and break down. So I know our scripture reading was from Deuteronomy 14:2, but if you would turn with me, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. As you're turning, I'll give you a chance. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Usually I like to flip through the Bible, but this is our main text that we are going to break down today. Amen? And now, as you are finding it, I'm going to read it out loud. 2 Chronicles 7:14 reads, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Today, the Lord has impressed upon me to put 3 points out to His people who sit in this sanctuary or after we leave the sanctuary that I pray that Christ will put upon your heart. The first one is His people who are called by His name. Then those who humble themselves and seek His face. And then those who turn away from their wicked ways. The believer or person who does these things, they will receive deliverance. Amen? Have you ever known, and I'm sure we do, have you ever known any unusual characters in your life thus far? Do you know any unusual characters? I know in my lifetime I've met a bunch. And I just turned 30 last week. And I've met a lot of unusual people in my life. But you know what? I could stand here and tell you many stories of the unusual people that I've met, or just were just plain out of the ordinary. But I have this one story or illustration about this man. There was a man who went to a psychologist, right? He went to the psychologist, and he has a funny conversation with the psychologist. He goes, "You know, I like potato pancakes, but because people say I like potato cake, when people say I like potato pancakes, they think that I'm weird. They think I'm weird because I like potato pancakes, right? That's not odd, right? I don't know if we all have had potato pancakes here, but." He said that was his problem. He said, "You know, I like potato pancakes, but people think I'm weird because of that." Psychologist pauses for a minute. He goes, "That's not weird. You know, I like potato pancakes too." So then at that very instant, the guy goes, "That's great. That's great. You love potato pancakes. I like them. Listen, why don't you come to my house this afternoon or after this session? You can come to my house and we can eat potato pancakes." The psychologist is listening. He goes, "Listen, I have closets full of potato pancakes." Is that out of the ordinary? For a person to have a closets full of potato pancakes. I'll let you be the judge of that. But back to our word. Before I get started, I want to give you a background from 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And the background is this. God's people, His chosen people, Israel, they have a problem. They are searching after other gods. They are living way far away from the way they should be living as the people of God. So this brings across this scenario in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Mind you, throughout the whole chapter, they're doing things that going after other gods and all kinds of stuff. So it causes God to deliver a message such as this one in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Okay? God always reminds us of how precious we are to Him. Okay? He doesn't want to destroy us But he wants to remind us of just how precious we are to him. So what the Lord has led me to do is read these several scriptures. I'll read them out to you, and if you find them, you can read along. But I just want us to see how beloved God, how much God loves us. You know, even though Israel was straying away in chapter 6 and even through 7, they were straying away from God, and God had to send this message to them saying, listen, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves before, then I will heal their land and them. Okay? So let's look at Isaiah 43:21. If you want to turn there, I can read it. It's Isaiah 43:21. And what we're trying to understand is how precious we are to God. And then we will get into this word. And 43:21 reads, this people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Then our word, which we read this morning, the scripture reading, Deuteronomy 14:2. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people who are on the face of the earth. How about 1 Peter 2:9? And this is very direct. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Friends, today, I want us to know that we are a peculiar people. Amen? We are God's unique possession. We are members of his eternal family. And that means, of course, that we are a special object of his love and care. It also means, however, that we are to live consistent with whom we are. We're not like other people in the world. We're more different. We're unique. Amen? And so we live exceptional lives to the glory of God who has given us his Holy Spirit. But there's a problem with man. Do we know that? There's a problem with us. We are defiant, stubborn, and simply rebellious. There can be no restoration until the rebellious surrender. A renewal means that there is a full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Looking at our text in 2 Chronicles, now let us examine what God wants to implant in our hearts. First, the principle. My people who are called by my name, right? This verse, as I said earlier, indicates Israel. And let us remember that all scripture is written for us. As Paul taught Timothy, his son in the ministry, in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. My people who are called by my name, The original importance is of those who allege his name, excuse me. Now we're going to talk about humbling ourselves. This is key. Revival does not come to the proud. Now, we understand that, amen? Revival comes not to those who are proud, and we have examples. Okay, I'm reading from Micah 6:8. It says, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I like that scripture, but I think Deuteronomy 10:12-13 spells it out. So let's look there. Deuteronomy 10:12-13. Deuteronomy 10:12-13. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible because I like this version of the way it comes out. It kind of brings a point across of what God is saying. So here it is. 12:13. Chapter 10:12-13. It says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but reverently? To fear the Lord your God, that is to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and with your entire being. to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Now I have a story that's in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 16 through 21, that speaks of King Uzziah. And it says, in that scripture it says, he was lifted up to his destruction. Now we understand who King Uzziah was, right? He was a gentleman who went into the sanctuary without, I guess you can say, without permission. But he was also proud. He became proud in his heart and trespassed, and for that he was smitten with leprosy. That's found in 2 Chronicles 26, 16 through 21. I'll get back to that. James 4:6 tells us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:10 goes on to say, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:5-7 says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Then, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, where it speaks of Jesus Christ, who humbled himself unto death. Amen? And here's the question I wanted to ask you before we get back to 2 Chronicles 26. There's a critical question in this Christian life that we must ask ourselves, or ask ourselves as people. And here it is. Am I arrogant or am I meek? That is a question that we must put across to ourselves when thinking of ourselves. And now I want to go to 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 through 21, because this is a great, great example that I wanted to bring out, that the Lord wanted me to share with you guys. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 through 21. This is speaking of King Uzziah, and we're going to see what his problem was. Okay? 26, verses 16 through 21. And also, I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible because it brings it out. It says, but when King Uzziah was strong, he became proud to his destruction and trespassed against the Lord his God. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with 80 priests of the Lord, men of courage. They opposed King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are set apart to burn incense. Withdraw from the sanctuary. You have trespassed, and that will not be to your credit and honor before the Lord God. Then Uzziah was enraged, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was enraged with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, besides the incense at the altar. And as Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, behold, he was leprous and on his forehead. So they forced him out of there, and he made haste to get out because the Lord had smitten him. And the king Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And being a leper, he dwelt in a separate house, for he was excluded from the Lord's house. We see, when we are proud in heart, or when we are proud in mind, nothing can get through to us. Unless, like we were speaking in the beginning, unless the Lord brings it strongly to your attention, as he's doing to Israel in this message. He is teaching them about their ways. He is teaching them about how they have turned from him, and they can't figure it out. Another trait that they have is in James 4:3. We're going to look at that one. Let's look at James 4:3. And this is speaking of what of Israel. Okay, are we ready? Or do you ask, this is James 4:3, and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil and selfish motives? Your intention is when you get what you desire to spend it in sensual pleasures. Okay? So that's the first one, unselfishly. The next one is sincerity. This is how we are supposed to approach the Lord. But they can't even approach the Lord because they have strayed far away from Him. Okay? I'm getting to a point. James 5, 16 and 18 says this. James 5, verses 16 through 18 say this. And I'm just reading from the Amplified Bible because it brings out my point. It says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your faults, your steps, your offenses, your sins. And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Elisha was a human being with nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. That is very key when we look at this. We're looking at a natural man, Elisha. That's what it said, right? He was a natural man. He spoke, and it didn't rain. Or he spoke, and it rained. Amen? Let's keep going. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land proceeded with its crops, as usual. So here's a natural man doing miraculous things. Why? Because he is sincerely in tune with God. Amen? 3, when we are searching or seeking the Lord, we have to do it with a whole heart. We have to do it entirely. Okay, known for his religious studies and revival, Charles Finney said, I have prayed all night, but not because God was reluctant to hear me, because I had to get my heart ready for what God had to say. Known as a man of faith, George Mueller, he said, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down, and when I rise up. And the answers are always coming. This is why the Lord says, seek my face. The Amplified Bible, which I'm reading from, brings it home. It says, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face. Amen? Oh, that we would crave the face of God most earnestly. God has an unquenchable longing and fervent craving and an ever-increasing hunger for us. Amen? If there's one thing the church has lost, it is its hunger for God. As the prophet Hosea says in Hosea 12, it is time to seek the Lord till he come and righteousness upon you, and rain righteousness upon you, excuse me. Or how about Isaiah 55:6? The prophet Isaiah proclaims, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Or how about Hebrews 11:6, which reminds us, that he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder to those who thoroughly seek him. You see, the situation in 2 Chronicles 6 and 7, it revolves in serious gathering. It's about a nationwide search for the favor of God. For example, how about Asa in 2 Chronicles 15:2? He went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. Or how about Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 29 through 31. Or Josiah in 2 Chronicles 34. Or maybe even Joel. So here we go. Turn from your wicked ways. The ways of some Christians is unpleasing to the Lord. Their soap opera lives, their rated R movies, their language, or their unholy conduct displeases God. Their foolish talking grieves the Holy Spirit. Do we know that such things are of evil? Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." If we look at church today, not our fellowship, but if we look at the church today in general, we are at a time when we need revival. Christians seem to have lost their passion for God. They have lost their passion to walk according to God's commandments. Many church services are just social gatherings and entertainment. But we know, as God spoke to Israel, He's speaking to our hearts today. We must search our lives and turn away from what is not of God. Amen? When we do this, it says, God said in His word, "I will hear from heaven." The word "hear" in this verse means to listen to a point where you are moved to action. In other words, God was promising to respond to their cries. And here's the prayer promise in Psalms 66, verse 18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." Or how about Isaiah 59, 1 and 2? "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God." Now remember, we spoke about this in the beginning. And this is why we must search ourselves, asking through the Holy Spirit that God would help us to search our hearts so we can be in tune with Him. Amen? It says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." If we truly look into 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we truly look at it, we can see that it brings heaven in speaking distance. It says, "I will forgive their sin." 1 John 1:9 reminds us that if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then He says, "Then I will heal their land." Healing the land and sending down the showers of rain, God was promising not only to cleanse their land, but causing the seeds to burst forth to bring a profitable restoration. We see in the Bible many great revivals that the Lord has done. One that I clearly can remember is the one with the disciples. When He brought them out of the upper room, boy, did their land come together. Amen? Didn't they speak to the land after they got out of the upper room? Amen? They came to the land. Excuse me. They had an impact on their surrounding area. If we will not heed God's guidance through His word, then He will speak to us through other means, meaning His world. He will allow disasters to come upon us to get our attention. Our civilization cannot survive unless it is spiritually redeemed. Amen? So, what is the answer? What is the answer? We see here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God speaking to His people who have gone astray. He loves us very much, amen? That He wouldn't leave us. He would send a message to His people to tell them, "Listen, we need to get it right. There are souls to be saved, and how can they be saved if you're not doing the right thing? How can they be saved if you're not following Me? It's only through Me that you're going to know." He says, "If you turn from your evil ways, then I will heal this land." Amen? This is what the Lord thy God says. If we turn away from our evil ways, then He will heal us. And then we will be set upon His way. But the thing is, like I said, as human beings, we are separated from God. And we must understand this. That is key in understanding so we can become one with God through His Son and through His Holy Spirit. Amen? Are we willing to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. I ask that the Lord would send a revival in everything that we do, that He may bless our hearts. But before any of that, we have to search within ourselves through God's Holy Spirit to see where we stand with God. Is He speaking to us today saying, turn away. Turn away and follow me. Is He saying, forsake your ways so that you may be saved and heal this land? Or are we like King Uzziah? Are we too proud to admit? When the Lord gave me this message, and my wife can attest to this because I was up in the morning, it's a serious message, and it's not just a message for this audience or for me. It's for everybody. You know, and the work of the God has to be done. And who's going to do it but the people who know Him best? Amen? Who's going to do it? And when the Lord brought this text upon me, I was reading it, and it was around maybe a little bit before Brother Earl, who's right there, asked me to come here today. And I said, you know, I read it, and then, like, I saw Brother Earl the next day or the day after, and he goes, you know, Brother Alex, you know, if we have a preaching engagement. If you want to preach, you can preach. And I said, yeah, you know, and I didn't have an idea of what I wanted, but then that scripture came to me. And it's not to point fingers, it's not to talk, but as God's people, we have to get it right. There's a world to be saved. There are souls to be saved. And how can we save them if we're in our own wickedness or in our own ways? Amen? So I hope that was my message. I hope you guys can hear it, take heed to it. Tell someone, because the world is going fast. People are dying every day who don't know the Lord. Seek His face. Humble yourselves. Let me humble myself. Let us humble ourselves and really speak and serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. May we bow our heads for prayer? O Lord God in heaven, we say thank you, Father, for awakening us up, Father, this afternoon. We thank you for sending your word to us, Father, that if we would just humble ourselves and seek your face, that all will be well, Father. But the truth is, O Lord, that in this lifetime, sometimes we get wrapped up in ourselves, O Lord, and we forget about you, Father. And I ask that you would have mercy upon us in forgetting you, Father, because you are the great creator, and you love us more than anything in this world, Father, for you have said in your word that we are your precious, peculiar people, Father. May we, Father, take hand wholeheartedly full of mind and body that we are yours, Father, and if we would just search your ways and be as you say, Father, that we would be all right and we would be in good standings with you, Father. Bless every soul who is here today, Father. May we speak it to someone who may not know about you, that they are your special people, Father, and if they just humble themselves and serve and seek your face, that you can do wondrous things for them, Father. You can heal them. Father, thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.